We're holding on Daf Mem Amid Beis. We got up to the two dots towards the bottom. So the next case that we had in the Mishnah, essentially we finished discussing the Meidah B'Nitzkas. The Mishnah says that in a case where he said, Manali B'Yadecha, in the Chaviyadi at all, he needs to go for a Makor, he would be Sparta. Says Reb Nachman, although he's Sparta from Meshua D'Yoraisa, Mashbi Ino to Shvuat Hetzeit. Nonetheless, the Rabbonim were misakin a certain type of Shvuat, which is called the Shvuat Hetzeit. Hetzeit is the same Lushan that we use for sicking a dog on somebody, Lasitbo et Kalbo. It has here also double meaning in that it's interesting that David HaMelech uses this language. It's the same language that comes from a mason, right? A mason to somebody who pushes you to do something. And how do they say in now? What's it called? So when somebody pushes you towards sedition. What do they call that? You know what I'm talking about? The kind of words that are called they're encouraged. There's another word for it. It's not an adjective. It's you can use it as a verb in hasata. Darn, I can't think of the English equivalent. Okay, yeah, I don't know, it'll come to me.
Insight.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Right. Okay. So he incited it. So David HaMelech says to Shlomo, to Shaul, he uses the same language. He said, well, if Hashem was Mesip you, and Hashem got very angry at me, Mesip at HaKorei, that's what you call me. Yeah, but in any event, it has a different lotion, because it also comes, it's from the word to put something on top of someone. So it's really like putting on pressure. So sometimes Rashi is Masbrit over here, like he does here. He says it's a lotion of putting something on. Samu chachamim alav shvua. So he got you on to me, is the way he would say. Did God get you on to me? You took up the case because God got you on to me, so to speak. But in other places, Rashi learns that the lashon of hasata means, in fact, to incite, meaning to incite the person to be modem. So even though he's a kofar bakol, the meaning over here is that the shvua is to encourage him to be modem. That it was true what the other guy was saying. What is the reason for takona such a type? My time. Because the truth is, chazaka in adam tovea elohim king yeshua. The person doesn't just make up a thing out of nowhere and go to court and try to get money back. Well, I didn't understand. I mean, the whole reason that the Torah tells us that the kofar bakol is potter as opposed to the motive of mikvah is chayav is gufa because we have a chazakav in adam me'iz panav bifnei ba'al chovav. A person generally does not simply barefacedly deny somebody did him the teva of making him alone. He doesn't just say, no, it never happened. The truth is, ishtamuti gudakam ishtamit. Like, he doesn't actually plan not to pay him back. He's pretending, basically. He doesn't remember. He doesn't have cash right now. So what he's trying to do is, he figures, okay, you know, the next week I'll have the cash. I'll come, I'll tell him, oh, yeah, of course, I'm not so sorry, and I'll bring him the money back. So, sova adahavile, when I get the money, paranale. That's really what's happening here. We're not kloshish, therefore, that it's a violation of the chazaka, they know the meis pan of nebal chogo. But in order to avoid types of situations like this, where someone will deny owing money when he does owe money. Look at, you know, you've got to be sovel, whatever that means. If the court's going to go and take away your TV set, so be it. If you can't push off the payment alone because you don't have now, unless you discuss it with the guy. So therefore, we understand that it's only a ishtamtut, and in order to prevent that ishtamtut, we say, let him take a shvua, even though it's a shvua the rabbonon, and that way he won't be able to do that. Tedan, I'll prove to you that we in no way believe that this guy actually intends not to pay in the end, and therefore it's not that we're basing this on a violation of the chazaka of Eino Demeis, but of Nepal Chovo. Because Revidi Baravin quoted Rav Chisda saying that HaKofer B'Milveh Kasher La'idut, if somebody denies a loan, and if we find out that he did have the loan and made him come and so on, he's still kosher for Eidus. Why? I mean, why don't we view that basically as he's a gazel? He should be possible. He's co-friends. He's no longer reliable a moment. Because we don't believe that he didn't intend to pay. That's the point. If he would be kofer b'pikadon, pikadon is something he had no right not to have in his hands. I mean, he had no right to use it. I asked you to keep my wallet for me. And all of a sudden you're denying you got the wallet. Because what? Because you're trying to get the money back in? You had no right to take the money anyway. So in that case, of course, you would be partial aidus. And the Gemara explains in Bava Metzia that this is only if there are witnesses that the wallet was sitting there on his table in the living room at the time. Because otherwise we could say maybe misplaced. He's embarrassed to say misplaced. But he's trying to remember where it is and so on. But in other words, given the distinction here, it means that when it comes to the loan, Lamaisa, we don't believe that the guy isn't going to pay back the loan. Must be therefore that Shavuot has saved is only to encourage things to move along more easily. Rav Chaviva Masne Atseifa. Rav Chaviva says this whole discussion in Rav Nachman about Shavuot Hesed was referring to the later part of the Mishnah, where it says Manali Biadefa, and the guy admits, yes, it's true, I owe you $100. The next day, the man comes along and says, well, can I have my $100? And then he says, well, I gave it to you already. In that case, he's patur. Now, that's the Mishnah. In this version, Reb Nachman said only about this case, that even though he's patur, but mashpi'inot shvat haseit. We nonetheless are koveh shvat haseit. By the way, there's different types of shvuas derabbanan. There's also shvuas, we'll see later, in which the person is nishba vin notel, where they were metaken, that somebody can make a shvua, and on the basis of that shvua, the strength of that shvua, he can collect. Now those are the things that are generally referred to as shvuas drabona, as opposed to a shvuas hesed, which is generally not referred to as shvuas drabona, even though in this sugya, we will refer to it as shvuas drabona, but that's a loose, it's a non-technical reference. So in such a case, the Rav Nachman, we make him swear shvuas hesed. Again, a shvuas hesed is the equivalent of a shvua of motive amitzvahs, in which the person who is the nidbar swears that it isn't true. So this is an extension of that idea to a kofer bakol. And the man, the matzni areish, of course, came to say it. Now, if you were ready to say that Reb Nachman said there was a shvuas hesed on a general kofer bakol, so kosher came in the second case where the guy had already admitted that the debt existed. I mean, that's a much stronger reason to make the guy swear. Because in the first case, I mean, we have no reason to believe the debt existed. In the second case, the guy said, yes, it's true, I owe you $100. So now we know the debt exists. Now we come back the next day and he says, well, I paid you the $100. Okay, there I can see it grounds in the second shvua. Because it's given that it's true, just like by a motive of mix-up. You say, yes, it's true, I did borrow the money. So in that case, we already have a drawer of the mona. So we extend it, even though you've been kofer bakol. But in the first case, that would allow, if I had to make a shvua, it would allow anybody to bring frivolous suits, and they'll come in and they say, well, you know, I lent you $10,000. And then I'll have to swear, they didn't lend me $10,000 to get out of here. Are you crazy? This is completely frivolous. Why should I pay any attention to your, do you have any riots? What are you telling me? So if you learn on the Reisha Koshikan and the Seifa, but if you learn it on the Seifa, where there is a clear-cut existence of a loan, I would tell you that this is the only case where Nachman says such a thing. I would say, hohoho. It's only in this case where there is clearly a drawer of the mamona. Everybody has agreed that the debt exists. The guy's modin exists. Aval hatam, in the first case, the lekha drawer of the mamona, where there's no drawer of the mamona at all, in such a case, we're not going to be machai of you. Look, now, when you say, you'll notice that Rav Nachman's, when we say over here, umashbinoto shvuat hesed. So, what exactly is this? And we often use the word aval, you know, but. We'll take nonetheless shvuah. Is there some difference, lemaisa, between a shvuah d'oraisa and a shvuah d'rabbanan, that this is like a lesser level of a shvuah? My yika ben shvuah d'oraisa and a shvuah d'rabbanan. By the way, Tosis points out that Rashi in some places says that there's a tremendous difference between them in terms of how we do it. And in Shvud Rabbanan, you don't require Nikitat Sefer. And it's only Shvud Yoraisi need Nikitat Sefer. So Tosis is very bothered by that Rashi, wherever Rashi says it. Because in this Gemara, if we're asking what's the difference, and we don't say that's the difference, we only look for the differences in terms of not how it's done, but rather the mechanism by which it applies. That it seems to imply that there is no difference. In fact, there are places where Rashi seems to agree with that, and he says the difference is only in terms of if you take the shvua in front of Bezin or not. If you take the shvua in front of Bezin, you wouldn't need to keep that chepetz, whether we're dealing with shvua chesed or shvua d'oraisa. But anyway, from this sugya, it's mashma that we're asking, well, is there any difference between them? And the difference that we come up with is, ikibinayim mepech shvua. The difference is whether you can force the shvua to be switched to the other part. So in other words, if you say, well, you know what? You say I owe you $1,000. Why don't you swear that I owe you $1,000? You swear that I owe you $1,000 and I'll pay you. I say it's frivolous. So in such a case, when it comes to the drabbanan, we're mafchinan. But when it comes to shvud yiraisa, you can't do that. You can't say, because lamaisa, the shvud takes the place of the chiyuv moment that I otherwise would have. Correct? In other words, either let's say I have the eid echad is mechay of the shvua in the same way that two eidim is mechay of moment. So therefore, it stands in that same getter of a chiyuv. So it's a chayach for me to say, no, you swear. Well, I don't have any chiyuv to swear. You, friends, either pay or swear. That was the chiyuv that was put on you. What right do you have to put anything on me? Mashenkin, the shvua has said, there was no chiyuv. We're saying you want to ignore the guy's taina, so just swear that it's not true. So I can say, well, how can you be mechayev me to swear? He's the guy that's signing. Let him swear. I'm willing to pay. If he's ready to swear in front of the president, I'm ready to pay him what he says. So therefore, there would be a very important nafkamina. That's true, but what about according to Mar Bar Rav Ashi? Mar Bar Rav Ashi holds that even on a shvud yoraisa, you can be mapkech shvua. So then, what would be the difference between the yoraisa and the rabbona? Well, the difference would still be in how you collect. If a guy has a shvud yoraisa to take, then we will, in fact, if he doesn't take it, we will go down to his property and we'll sell his property. We'll pay the loan back because it's an absolute chiyuv to swear or pay the yoraisa. Masha'inkin, when it comes to a shvua drabbanan, we're calling this a shvua drabbanan, but again, what we really mean is a shvua seset, and a shvua seset, lo naftin al nirseh, if the guy refuses to pay, we will not go down to collect his property. And the question is going to ask, what will we do? But we won't go down to collect his property. That's a big nafkamina. Okay, that is a big nafkamina. But what about according to Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says that even where we have a takana drabbanan, we will go down and collect from the property. And it's the famous machlokus about a mitzia, a chera shot of the kafan. So here you have a child find something. Now, he doesn't really have kinyonim in it. Nonetheless, says the Tanakama, yesh behem gezel mipnei darkei shalom. We are mitakein dinim of gezel, but let's be very clear about it, that those dinim of gezel are only darkei shalom things, that we want the world to act as if they have kinyonim, because if not, it's going to be bitter. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, look, it's irrelevant. This is Gezel Gomer. I mean, yes, it's a takona, but it's irrelevant why we made the takona. Once we made the takona, it's Gezel like any other Gezel. And the difference between them, because Rav Chista said, even according to Rav Yossi, when it says Gezel Gomer, it obviously doesn't mean Gezel Gomer Midiraisa. So Rav Yossi holds they have Kinyon Midiraisa. It's Gezel Gomer Midibrayan. So then he says, well, am I Nafkamina? So who cares what we call it? Nope, that's the nafkamina. Is if I view that there's such an entity as Gezel Medibrayan, so and it has exactly the same quality as Gezel does, so then I'll go down to Bezdin. The Bezdin will go down to his things and will collect them. If I insist on saying, well, I can't call it Gezel, it's Darkei Shalom Gezel, then what I'm saying is, it doesn't really have all the hagdarot of Gezel. Because we will not go down to his property and force him to pay. So Mamela comes out that there's a nafkamina. If even in a case of a drabbanan, will we be motzi b'dayanim? L'may nafkamina lo tziyu b'dayanim. See, if you hold according to Rav Yossi, that it's gezel gomer, that means we're motzi gezel, even over here ben rabbanan, we're motzi it by going down to the property and selling the property. So now we're back to our original question. So what would be the difference between the yoraisa and the drabbanan? Well, there's still a difference. The difference would be, how about in a case where the person that is supposed to swear over here, the nidbah, in other words, the one who it's claimed against, cannot swear? The chachamim were mitakein, and in a case where somebody can't swear, we don't say stam, as a mechuyav shvua v'ainu yachol lishavah, is chashud al hashvua. Fine, so you can collect, but you can only collect if you take a shvua. So this is one of the shvuat hanotlim. You want to know, because you're going to take advantage of a person that's in a position which he cannot swear. The court will not accept his shvua. He's been proven to be a liar in the past, whatever, right? So if he can't swear, mi'ikra din, he should just have to pay. But the rabbanu were mitakein shvuat hanotlim in this case. You swear that he owes the money and take. And he's helpless in that sense. So that's only on a shvua d'oraisa. But in a shvua d'rabbanan, so then it goes, we had that before, then it goes back to the way it was, and he's a mechuyav shvua, and he's a chol shavah, and he has to take. So now, it's an interview, right? So we would say, afchinen le shavua the Samawaida. We'll take that shvuah and we'll put it on the other guy. But bin Rabbanan, takantai. The whole din of a shvuah hesed is only a takon and rabbanan. What is the takon and rabbanan? That the nitba should be nijba, correct? So that means if we're going to say, but if the nitba cannot be nijba, that he's a kofer bakol and that he really doesn't owe, so then the tovea is going to be nijba benotel. That would mean that what we're doing is we're saying, well, we're going to make a takana, and then we're going to give backup systems for a takana. We'll say, and we'll also make a takana if we can't keep our first takana, that the guy should be nijba, that then the other guy should be nijba benotel. We don't make a takana to a takana. We do what we can. If the tovea is in a position in which it's not shayach for this person to make the shvuah, so there's nothing that he can do. There's no way that he can simply say, all right, then I'll take the shvuah, and I'll take the money. And we never made such a takana. Because the whole thing anyway was done as a special takana for his benefit, and that's it. We're not going to go further than that.
With the people who do hold Mepach Shavuah?
Yeah, Mepach Shavuah is a different thing. Mepach Shavuah is where the guy himself says, I'm going to be Mepach. I'm ready to pay. But if the guy says, I'm not ready to pay, so the guy says, well, then I'll make the shvuah. Let's make him ready to pay. We didn't make this a takana. Takanta, the takanta, lo abdina. So we have very strange things. You're telling me that according to Rabbanan, Haliva de Rabbi Yossi, we were misakein the shvuah, but Lamai said, the guy says, you know what? I don't give a hang about your takana. I don't take shvuahs. And I'm not going to pay either. We will not go down to collect. So what's the point of saying, if you're not going to go down to collect, so what kind of takana is it to make a shvuah? We're not going to impose anything anyway over here in terms of a solution. So what do we need the shvuah for? So according to Rabbanan, the Polagalator of Yossi, the Amr of Rabbanan, lo naftina l'nichse, they hold that when it comes to the Rabbanan, we don't go down to his property. Mayav dinanle, so what do we do? Well, misham dinanle. We put him at the cherem, and we put him at the cherem until he pays up. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. And that is called not going down to his mechasim. Huh. Hai nakte bekufse, the nish bekele gleime. You know what this is? This is an equivalent of grabbing a guy by his hanging parts. You grab him by the balls, basically, we would say in English. It's also the same type of not nice lotion of an act of the kufse. So you're going to grab him by the balls, and you'll keep squeezing. You'll say, well, I'm not asking you to do anything. All I want is your coat. But it's my coat. Really? Okay. Okay, take my coat. So that's what you're doing. So the nishkei l'glim. So you're going to have him throw his clothes off to you. He'll say, fine, take my clothes. But of course, chas v'shalom, that we should go and collect something, shelo kedin. What better, as Rashi puts it, what better way of collecting something than to have the guy hand you over his deed? Never mind. So that can't possibly be what it means. Elamaya abdina, like what do we do? Obviously we can't just put him into cherem until he pays up. What we do is like this. We put him into cherem until he responds to the court order that he's supposed to be nishma. If he still refuses to be nishma, now always the din of listening to the rabbanon, the cherem is for 30 days. The person doesn't listen to the best in 30 days. So then we take action. Now, in this case, the action is not that we collect. So what is the action? We give him Marcus Marcus. Not until he pays. It's your punishment for not listening. You're in contempt of court. That will do, but we will not keep doing it to be Machayavim, because that's the equivalent of actually forcing him to pay up, and we're not forcing him to pay up. But we will treat him appropriately to the contempt of which he showed to the Takana Drabonon, and he'll be Nenash, but we won't force him to pay. The guy's going to sit there and say for 30 days, still not respond. And he'll get Marcus Martis, that's it, it's over. So he saved himself $10 million. You know? Whereas if I had been issued with the arise, of course, we would have gone down, we collected the money. And then Shafkin and then we let him out. Omrif Papa, hi man, da afik shtara al chavre. Somebody who takes a shtar, presents it in court to be tovei another man, and the guy claims it's a shtara peruahu. He claims this. Yes, this is a shtar, but I pay this shtar. Amrina lay, we tell him, well, lafko kamina, if you can't turn a shtar into a puzzle of shtar, zilshli, go pay. And if the guy says, no, look, I'm telling you, I paid the shtar, the only reason he still has the shtar is because I owed him money for the safrut. And the guy has a right to keep a shtar for the safrut, unless he pays him the cost of the shtar. I never got around to paying him the 10 cents for the sofer, and because of that he has a shtar. I trusted the guy like an idiot. And now he's been tovea me. I say, let the guy take a shvuah that I really owe him that money. I'll pay him if he swears that this is a real shtar. So if he claims that, I'm in like dili shtaba. Like we tell the guy that's collecting, this is a shvuah d'rabbanan, swear to him that it's for real. Omer le'Rav Acha, b'rei de Rav le'Rav Ashi, I don't get it. So then, ma ben zela pogemet shtaro. We know that the case is that someone who's pogemet shtaro, the classic case, is that Isha is pogemet ktubata. She has a shtar ktuba, but she admits that she already got some of her ktuba, which means that the shtar as written, the guy himself who is the nitba, who is the toveya with the shtar, he himself is ready to admit that, well, it's a good shtar, but not exactly for the face value. Oh, no, wait a minute. So now you're being pogemet the shtar. You're saying, well, it is a good shtar, but it's not really 100% good the way it's written. The din over there is that he has to make a shvuah in order to collect. Now this is very strange, because now you're telling me that even where there's no pagam in the shtar, you're going to have to make a shvuah in order to collect, just because the other person says so. So then basically you're saying that every shtar is essentially pogum. Whenever a guy doesn't want to pay, it's the same thing as being pogam shtaro. So why in the world do we have a concept called pogam shtaro? Just tell me. Well, since the other guy claims that it was already paid, you're going to have to swear. Omar Lay says, well, there's a tremendous difference. In the din of pogam et shtaro, the shtar is only collectible if you swear. The court will not be mizdakek to the shtar unless you swear. Over here, the court looks at the shtar and says, a perfectly good shtar, pay up. The guy says, but I paid. The court says, tough. Pay up. The guy says, well, let him swear. Oh, okay, if you're timing, let him swear. So we'll make the guy swear. But we're not going to say there's anything innate in the shtar that requires swearing prima facie, and therefore we're now going to be mechayev him to be nishba in order that the shtar should be a good shtar. By same thing, by the pagima of the shtar, it's a din in the shtar, not simply in the taina. So we'll taina therefore for him. So therefore, see that inside. So over there, even though he didn't say anything, the nitba didn't say anything, we will taina for him today. Whereas hacha over here, where he presents a shtar that is not pagum, we tell the guy, will you pay up the shtar? V'yitayin v'amar ishtabali. Only if the guy says, look, I'm telling you, I want to see him swear that I didn't pay this up. Then and only then I realize it's ishtabali. And the truth is, yishur b'mirabonani, if the person that was presenting it is a Talmud Chacham, lo mashbi'in anlay. We will not make him swear. I don't understand. What? So a Talmud Chacham has a right to strip people bare and walk off with their clothes. Well, that's absurd. What do you mean he? Because he's a Talmud Chacham, so he's given different rights than other people? That's crazy. Ella, no, it doesn't. We don't mean that he can collect without swearing. We mean lo mizdakinin and leila dine. The court is misalik itself. So, well, we're certainly not going to go back to a Talmud Chacham who's presenting a shtar and saying, you're a liar, you're using a shtar that's paru, I swear. So what kind of insulting thing is that? Obviously, the guy himself takes the shvuah and so on, fine, he can take the shvuah. But we will no longer, we won't prosecute the shtar. But we're certainly not going to turn to him and tell him to swear. Now, the next case that we had two cases. We had the Mona Libya Decha. The guy comes along and he says, well, I did and I paid it up. And then we had the case where the guy said, yes, and somebody says, and then the lender says to him, well, I don't want it to be paid unless it's paid in front of witnesses. And then the guy later, the next morning, says, well, I came to your house last night. And he said, okay, forget about the witnesses, and when everything was fine. Then we don't believe him, and he has to pay again. So now, so now in context of that Mishnah, we want to examine a general din, obviously it wasn't initially said about our Mishnah, in which Rav Yehuda quoted Rav Asi as saying that if you take out a loan, and the lender insisted on there being witnesses for the loan, then that itself implies that he doesn't trust you to simply taina that you paid it back. The reason that he had witnesses there is because he wants the transaction to be witnessed, and therefore he's essentially giving you a message. We're going to deal with this with objective testimony. Now, I don't want you to come along and claim that you paid me between the two of us. Same way that I took the precautions of having witnesses. When you pay back, you take the precautions of having witnesses. So tzarech l'faro be'edin. Ki amrita kameh l'shmuel. When I said it over to Shmuel, Amar li, Rav Yehuda says, I said over Rav Asi, Shmuel said to me, well, it's not a practical and meaningful halacha. Because yochol lomar lo, paraticha b'fnei ploni uploni, v'ocholem l'medin atayam. There's nothing over here. So there's two ways of understanding the idea of tzarech l'faro be'edin. One is to say that the person who takes out a loan in front of witnesses is essentially accepting upon himself that nothing that he says will be believable in court if it can't be backed up objectively. But the other way of understanding it is that we recognize that between ourselves, the level of responsibility that we have to each other in this transaction is that it should be witnessed, right?
Okay.
Says Shmuel, the way I understand it is that yes, it's a meaningful statement, it's a meaningful act that boils down to a statement of, well, let's just make sure that there's witnesses. In which case, if you say, well, you know, I didn't think that was important, we say, well, that was pretty stupid. So why should we take your word for it? But if the guy comes along and says, well, I did plead in front of witnesses. Well, where are the witnesses? Witnesses left the country months ago. They just happened to leave the country. Those guys have to be your witnesses. Well, okay, why not? Well, didn't I lend it in front of you? Yes, you did. And I did exactly what I was supposed to do. So if we understand that the idea over here is that he's saying, there will be nothing believed legally unless it has witnesses, then obviously what Shmuel says doesn't mean anything. But Shmuel says that's the most that you can sign it. You never made a condition that the only way that I'll believe you that it was paid is if witnesses say that you paid it. So you did what you were supposed to do. You said you did pay it in front of witnesses. The fact that you can't present the witnesses doesn't mean anything. Now, let's take a look at our Mishnah and see whether this is consistent. Tna, monali biadecha, amar lo hein, lemacha amar lo tneoli, notativ lacha patur. So he said, if the guy, after having been mowed in front of witnesses, he says, yes, I do owe you $100. The next day, the guy says, well, where's $100? He says, what do you mean? I gave it to you last night. He's believed. He's potter from a shvua because he's a kofer bakol at this point. Now, I don't understand. Over here, the tfiyah was with witnesses. So if the tfiyah was with witnesses, that means that essentially, that's no different than lending it with witnesses. And nonetheless, it says that it's potter. So, isn't that a tiyufter of Rav Asi? Because, now, according to Shmuel, it's not a problem. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, even according to Shmuel, you'd still have to say, well, I did pay it back to you in front of witnesses, right? So why isn't this a problem even according to Shmuel? It says over here he's potter, even though he just said, I gave it to you. Now, Tosfos learned throughout the sugya that when Shmuel says he could always pay, what Shmuel's essentially saying is, that therefore it is a meaningless understanding. Because since he always has the milu to be able to say that, he could always say, well, I did pay it back to you in front of witnesses. So it boils down to a ne'amanut, even if he doesn't say, I paid it back to you in front of witnesses. Since there's absolutely nothing to prevent him from saying that, we believe him when he says, I paid you back. So according to Shmuel, this isn't a problem. But it is to Yufted Rav Asi, isn't it? I mean, according to Rav Asi, he should have to actually present his witnesses. And he's certainly not presenting his witnesses. I mean, otherwise, obviously, he would be put. Amalek Rav Asi said, Rav Asi, now wait a second over here. You are talking, gentlemen, about a case where the original loan was made without witnesses. And now he's coming along, and he says, the Tviyah is now in front of witnesses. The guy was mowed in front of witnesses. That's not the same. My point was that when the loan is made originally with witnesses, then that's the equivalent of telling the guy, I will not accept from you any type of taina of payment unless you take the same precautions and present me with proof that it was paid. But obviously you can't do that ex post facto. You can only do that when you originally make the loan. I mean, so if he didn't originally make the loan in front of witnesses, it's all very nice that he says, well, I just want you to know that I'm not going to believe you. I mean, no. So you're not, so you say so. So I say otherwise. So I'm talking about a case. See, Amri, where did I say my din? Obviously, only after the Mikor owes for the Aiden. It's only where initially he insists on lending him in front of witnesses to Lola de Dehemne, where he never trusted him, and therefore it's the same as saying, I will not accept the taina of Parua, and you're agreeing to that by taking it in front of witnesses, unless you can prove it with witnesses. But Hacha, Hahemne. Here, originally, he didn't have witnesses there. So then if he says, look, I mean, you trusted me when you gave me the money. So now, all of a sudden, I'm supposed to say that I can only pay you in front of witnesses because there happen to be witnesses that witnessed that I was loaded. That's not it. I'm going to make a new loan now. Reb Yosef says over this whole discussion a little different. He says, Imasiha, Om Reb Yudam Ravasi, Ha'malvet Chaveo Be'edim, Einot Tzarich Leforo Be'edim. The fact that somebody made out, gave you money with Edim doesn't mean that you must pay him back with Edim. But if he specify the imamar al tifreini ela ve'edim. If he says I want you to pay me back only with witnesses, sorech lefaro ve'edim, then he'll have to pay you back with witnesses. And in this version, even this case, when Rav Yehuda said it over to Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Well, it's all very nice, but it doesn't mean that we don't believe them unless witnesses testify. It means that the man had to have paid back in front of witnesses." If he did, according to his own words, he says, I paid you back in front of witnesses. Where are the witnesses? Overseas. So you can't say to him, your taina of parati doesn't mean anything. Why would a taina of parati not mean anything? Well, because you were stupid. You didn't have witnesses. I did have witnesses. I thought they went overseas. You never said you weren't going to believe it via a dina for ruah unless I can present my witnesses, did you? And therefore, yochol omar lo praticha b'tnei ploni uploni v'okolem lebi natanya. Now, in this version, we ask from the other case of the Mishnah, it's nine. Mona libi adecha amar lo hein. Amarlo alti tneuli ella bifnei edim. Pay me back only in front of witnesses. Lamachar amarlo tneuli. And the next day he says, "Where's my money?" And he says, "Natati blacha." And he's chayav. Why is he chayav? Because since the guy said, "Only pay me back in front of witnesses," so he has to give it back in front of witnesses to you after the Shmuel. So this proves that Shmuel is wrong, because if Shmuel is right, then he would have had a migo, even though he didn't necessarily say, "Oh, I did pay you back in front of witnesses." But he doesn't really have to say it at this point anymore. As Tosas pointed out, Har Malacha Shmuel says, Shmuel, well, yes, you're 100% right. The Mishnah does not agree with me. How can I argue with the Mishnah? It's a machlokes tanoim. I'm going to go on the other. Take a look at the price. Tanoim. Titania. The Edim Hilviticha. Now, we assume at this point that this means the lender says at the time that I make the loan, I say, now look, I'm lending you with witnesses, and therefore, I want you to make certain that you bring witnesses to. So be'edim yovitich, be'edim pralim, the din is, oh, yitzeno yaviraya, shenatan, either let him pay up, or let him bring those witnesses. Let him present those witnesses. Rabbi Yehuda ben B'teirah Omer, now that kind of holds like you. That's kind of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda ben B'teirah Omer, no, he could still say, yochol lomar lo paratich, I did. I had witnesses. If they plony or plony book, well, I'm living at the yam. They went out to the Medinat Hayam. And that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben B'teira. That's the Shita that I was going according to, says Shmuel, in which it doesn't matter. It's only a tnai that you do things legally. And he says, I did it legally. I can't prove to you that I did it legally. But where did you ever say I have to prove it?
Well, they didn't witness something. Don't we have to have a sign of star that we witnessed?
No, not necessarily.
No,
they didn't have to sign off on the star. Maybe there wasn't a star here. What was talking about? It was all Bob Aiden.
A separate star.
No. That's a very good point. Actually, it's not the same. It's a big machlokas between the main sheetahs of the Rimigash on one side and the Ramban on the other side. Because the question over here is, how seriously do we take this plony or plony? In other words, is he really just saying, well, I did pay you with Aiden? Or does he need to say something that's traceable? If the guys are dead, it's not traceable anymore, at least like this. So that's the question. In other words, there's a machlokas we've shown him as to whether my explanation was correct. The way I explained it to you was that the whole issue is not an issue of ne'amanut. It's a procedural question. If indeed it's procedural, what's the difference whether the guys are alive or dead? If there's elements of ne'amanut in it that, well, I at least wanted it to be traceable, and the guy says, well, it is traceable. Then if they're dead, then it's not traceable. So that's an alternative way of learning the sugya in which there would be enough communism. I'm happy you brought it up.
He didn't have to die after the
No. He said he did it in the graveyard, and they were paying close attention. Parach Ravacha. So Ravacha says, what do you mean? I don't see how Shmuel can claim that that is the meaning of Rabbi Yehuda ben B'teira. Who's to say that the guy said those words, the Eidim Hilviticha, at the time of the loan? Maybe what happened is, he had lent him money with Eidim, but he never said, at the time that he lent it to him, I expect you to pay me back with Eidim. Now he's coming a year later to collect, and he says, now look, you remember I lent you with Eidim, don't you? Well, I lent you with Eidim, and you should have paid me back with Aiden. Why are you tining now that you didn't have Aiden? It says Rabbi Yehuda ben B'teira. Well, he could just as easily have said he did have Aiden. I mean, what kind of tining is that? But in the case where he actually would have made such a condition at the time that he lent him the money, then everybody would have agreed that he has to be able to prove that he paid him back. Like I'm tining, Shmuel doesn't have anybody that can prove his side of the story here at all. Av b'shat halvah debeyako chayav. I disagree. I don't believe that there's a machlokas tanaim on this. Because again, remember, Ravasi was talking about only where it was done b'shat mihalva'a. Papa mishmei derav amar amal v'chaveiro be'edim ein tzarich lefarol be'edim v'im amar al tifreini ela be'edim tzarich lefarol be'edim. If in fact he said that, he has to pay him back with Aiden. V'im amar lo praticha b'tzei ploni uploni. If then he will say, but I did. Now, obviously, Rav Papa is not saying the same thing as Shmuel. the way Tosfos understands it. Because Shmuel was saying, there isn't this middle stage in which, yes, he has to pay him back the Eidim. It's the very fact that I could say I did, means I don't have to. But over here, I'll leave it to Rav Papa. We don't say that. Rav Papa doesn't hold he has a migum. And therefore, if he says, well, there weren't any Eidim, doesn't matter. So if there wasn't any Eidim, then we say to him, well, then you're an idiot, so pay. He'd have to say, no, there were Eidim, they're just not here. So there's three shitas, Aliba, the way Tosfos is learning. There's Rav Asi, there's Shmuel, and there's Rav Papa. According to Rav Shmuel, the whole thing is meaningless, because you'd always have a migum. According to Rav Papa, you always have a taina if you use it. But it's not a taina that gives you a migum, because it's actually mechayev you to pay it back in a procedural way. That if you didn't, the guy can say, I'm not mechayev to recognize that type of problem. Now, Avudi Omele L'chavre, somebody makes a loan, and he says to the guy, he says, Kiparatim, when you pay me back, you must pay me back in front of Reuven and Shimon. Now this guy goes ahead and pays him back in front of witnesses, other witnesses. Frey me Alma, not Reuven or Shimon. Omer Abaye says, Abaye, look. I mean, you can't specify that only such Eidim are Ne'emanim. I mean, if we have witnesses, and they're kosher witnesses, and kosher witnesses said that the guy was paid back, who the heck cares that he wanted to have Reuven and Shimon? You turn around now and say, well, Reuven and Shimon, I don't trust. The court trusts them. And the court says that the guy's paid back the loan. And therefore, he said, Ba'api Be'tray Omarle, Ba'api Be'tray Pare. The guy said he wants witnesses. Fine. He has witnesses. Omarle Rava says, well, now wait a minute. Lachi Karmarle Ba'api Reuven and Shimon. The reason he said that I want it paid back in front of Reuven Mishimon is because he doesn't want this person draining him a cup and claiming these kind of things. And now, and I give this a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos says, and claiming that there were witnesses, but the witnesses are Be'er Hayam. And now, so now what am I supposed to do? I said Reuven and Shimon because I know those are the guys that I can trust and I can trace and I'll know whether you paid. You're telling me, well, we did, but unfortunately they're not here. That, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I don't want you to be mad for me. But Rashi, one second, let me finish. But Rashi says that what he's signing about these other witnesses is that these people I don't trust. Because these people are neman to me, and I'm making a condition with you that you accept that I will not trust your Piraon unless it's backed by Reuven and Shimon. And it's not backed by Reuven and Shimon. Then as far as I'm concerned, these other Edom are Edom Shech. And that's what you accept. Now, Tosha says, but the way that if that's how Rashi's learning, then how did he explain the words Delonit Chayev? I don't want you to put me off, but put me off in what way? That's like a putting me off, bringing other witnesses. That's not the problem, putting me off. The way I'm learning, Tosha, it works out very well. You're putting me off. You're telling me the Edom are away for the next 15 years. You know, see you later. That's putting me off. But I don't understand the Lashon of the Gemara. Now, who the Omer L'Chayev, another case was, where someone says to his friend, Kiparatali, apparently the Apid Betray, to Tano Hilchasa. I want you to pay me back in front of two serious people, people that know how to learn, not some jerks from the street. Maybe they don't know what they're talking about. Ozal Parai Ben Delay. So what does he do? He pays the guy back without any witnesses at all. He gives him the money. So the guy says, yes, it's true. He gave me the money. No, so what's the problem? I was mugged. On the way out of the meeting in the alley, I was mugged. They stole my money. So we say, well, you know, that's sort of your problem. He says, no, it's not my problem. I never took the money as the repayment of the loan because there weren't the witnesses. I took the money essentially as a picadon, so that when those guys come, that then we'll be able to conclude the transaction by giving it to me in front of witnesses. They're going to give him back the money, and then he'll hand me the money in front of the witnesses. These really chashuva witnesses, the Tani Hill, because I'm a very careful guy. I mean, I don't let things just be done without following the right procedures. Obviously, as a yek, I never would have taken this money unless it was as a pikadon to do the guy a favor. Now, if I'm mugged, that's not my problem. I mean, then I'm an honest, right? So it's his loss, not my loss. Now, where's my money? This is a very interesting case. Let's take a look at it inside. So what happened? Azal Parah Ben Delay, and he's Nisku, Hanav Zuzi. Now, the Zuzim were stolen from him at gunpoint. Also, the Kamed Reb Nachman. So the guy, he wants his money. They come to Reb Nachman, and he admits to Reb Nachman. He says, "Yim kibulik abatim." I mean, of course, I took the money, but I took the money derech pikadon. I was going to keep it for him. Be'amina, I said, you know, look, lahavi gaboy pikadon, let me keep it for him. Adamisramu betray the Tano Yochasa. We'll wait until we get two people over here that know how to learn properly, and then we can conclude this as a good yekir. Every T will be crossed, and every I will be dotted. So Nachman said, well...
Do you agree to that? Agreed
to what? Yeah, initially he agreed to it. But he said, I paid him, he took the money, but I know his yekish of hishbainus. Not he agreed to it at the time he gave me the money. He gave me the money. As far as he was concerned, he paid me back. I'm a smart guy. I know that there's problems with this. I was waiting until we were able to conclude it properly. I'm not denying that he gave it to me, but obviously, any fool knows when you pay a yekish, you pay it back to him on his terms. No, no, of course not. He said, what do you mean I gave you back the money? What kind of business is that? You're going to wait, you're going to give it back to me? Is that right?
Whew. Couldn't he say that I wanted these two people back because I was afraid of being mocked?
So what'd you take my money for? On my lane. So Nachman said to him, well, you know, let me tell you something, Mr. Yek. Kiva de kamodita, the vadi shekatino mine. You admit that the guy gave you back your money? That's it. He paid you. Now, you've got a problem, because you're never going to be able to sleep again because you never put a proper end to this transaction. I mean, where are the Aiden, the Tani Hilchasa, and this will essentially disturb you for the rest of your life? I have a brilliant idea. Now look, I'm a pretty smart guy, you know? There's me here, and there's also Rapshashis right here. Now, all of us not only know how to learn a little bit of halacha, let me tell you something. We've learned halacha, sifra, sifrita, sefra, the whole shas. We're good for you. Okay, now are you happy? The two of us have now witnessed that the loan is paid. Sign, seal, to deliver. All yekas can now go home and sleep forevermore. Obviously, as Tosis points out, this is a joke. I mean, there was no need to conclude the ASIC, but he's saying this guy has got so many hang-ups. Who will handle his hang-ups for him?
This happened to me more than 25 years ago. Lady Kim, we bought a painting. Give me a check balance. I told her what happened. And she told me, when I went to my car, I put it in the painting in the car, and it got stolen.
Oh my God!
I don't pay.
Oh my God. Oh, that's horrible. Oh my gosh. Incredible story.
I went to a lawyer.
Amazing story. Okay. Anyways, this is very, very cute story over here. So now let's take the next case. The guy says, give me my $100 that I lent you. On my leg. What are you talking about? $100? All you're doing, what are you talking about? He goes and he brings witnesses. And the witnesses say, yes, he absolutely did borrow $100. However, he also paid back $100 in front of us. So what are we supposed to do with these Adim? I mean, these Adim agree that he doesn't owe any money. How can we use these Adim against him if they say it was paid? So my Navi, Inu Umar's Yusufay, they said it was lent. Inu Umar Pari, but they're also saying it was paid. Rava says, now wait a minute, if the guy said I never borrowed the money, then he's admitting that he never paid the money. So then the fact that the Adim say he paid the money is not as good as his own hoda'ah that he never paid the money, and therefore let him pay. So kolom and lo laviti, kolom and lo parati dami. And therefore, he should, in this case, have to pay. Ahudi omele lechavret, habli mea zuzi de mesik, remember, huh? Somebody says to a guy, where's $100 that you owe me? On my leg, that $100? Lopat, Bishop is named Tony, but didn't I pay you back that $100 in front of Reuven and Shimon? He goes and he asks Reuven and Shimon and brings them into court. Reuven and Shimon says, lawyer Dvarim Olam, we never saw any money being paid back. And what is he referring to? Sub Rav Sheshes Lamim, Ruvazak Kafran. So Rav Sheshes said, look, I mean, obviously this guy's a liar. I mean, he said he paid it back in front of Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon said, you don't know what he's talking about, so now we don't accept his time that he paid it. Omalei Rava said, Rava, and this is Rava's famous mimer we've had before. Called Milsidil Oramiale the Inchelavadite. What people don't need to be aware about, they're not aware about. And since in this case, there was no stipulation that he needed to pay it back in front of Aiden, he said, when I paid you, I said, didn't I pay it back in front of Reuven and Shimon? And the answer is, no, you didn't. Okay, fine. So I made a mistake. I mean, I didn't have to pay back in front of Aiden. So So when people say things like that, it's because they don't need to be aware of it in the first place. This is how most Rishonim learned. Rabbi Elchanano learned that since there was no need for testimony, Ruvein and Shimon have no memory of it. Because why should I know what we think we remember everything that was? Yeah, nobody said anything about it. We were supposed to witness something. You know. So how are they supposed to know anything about it?
Nobody said
Yes, exactly. Because there's no need for Aiden. There was no stipulation. It was supposed to be in front of Aiden.
What happened if Shimon is in a Mashiach house because the other name was break down?
And the other, maximum security. The real solution is, as you know, the best artists are in Mishugoyim House. Get the picture that he painted in the Mishugoyim House, present it to the bank in exchange for what it was that he was stolen, get him out of jail, and you have other. Fantastic idea. Okay.